Sometime in the first days of November, the body of the young man who had disappeared sank to the bottom of the river. Face down, bumping lightly against the muddy bed below the flowing water, the body was probably carried for several miles, frowning with gentle surprise, arms held a little away from his sides, legs stiff. The underwater plants ran their fronds along the feathered headdress the boy was wearing, across the boy's forehead and war paint stripes and lips, down across the fringed buckskin shirt and wolf-tooth necklace, across loincloth and deer-skin leggings, tracing the feet in their moccasins. The fish and other scavengers were mostly asleep during this period. The body bumped against rocks and branches, scraped along gravel, but it was mostly preserved. In April, when the two freshman college girls saw the boy's face under the thin layer of ice among the reeds and cattails at the edge of the old skating pond, they at first imagined the corpse was a discarded mannequin or a plastic Halloween mask. They were collecting pond water specimens for their biology course, and both of them were feeling scientific rather than superstitious. And one of the girls reached down and touched the face's cheek with the eraser tip of her pencil. During this same period of months, November through April, Dustin Tillman had been drifting along his own trajectory. He was 41 years old, married with two teenage sons, a psychologist with a small practice, and formerly, he sometimes told people, some occasional forays into forensics. His life, he thought, was a collection of the usual stuff, driving to and from work, listening to the radio, checking and answering his steadily accumulating email, shopping at the supermarket, and watching select highly regarded shows on television and reading a few books that had been well reviewed and helping the boys with their homework, details that were, he was increasingly aware, units of measurement by which he was parceling out his life. When his cousin Kate called him, later that week after the body was found, he was already feeling a lot of vague anxiety. He was having a hard time about his upcoming birthday, which, he realized, seemed like a very bourgeois and mundane thing to worry about. He had recently quit smoking, so there was that too. Without nicotine, his brain seemed murky with circling, unfocused dread, and the world itself appeared somehow more unfriendly, emanating, he couldn't help but think, a soft glow of ill will.